this is the first general meeting Oklahoma City has had in many years. I guess since they had it at the campground, I guess, isn't it? So I know it'll be taxing on them, and so when I called, and well, actually I told Sister Robin, and when I called, she is the one that answered, and Brother Randy Linger wasn't available. But she texted me yesterday, or my wife, and said she thought Brother Linger got back to me, and then she found out that he didn't. And so she said, but we do want help of everyone that wants to be a help. And so she wanted to know if I could get her a list. Well, I already know that Brother Paul David's going, Sister Holly's going, Sister Thompson told me that her and Sister Sherry, is that right? And Sister Painter and Sister Sandra York was planning on going to help. Well, that's what I think she told me, but I could have maybe just added some names in there, but I didn't do it on purpose. I mean, that's what I thought she told me. Anyway, I didn't name your names yet, okay? So maybe she's planning on asking y'all and I'm dropping the bomb. I don't know. But she's not here to defend me. At least I don't see her yet. But I told Sister Robin that I'd try to get a show of hands of who's planning on going and who's willing to work, you know, who's willing to work in that meeting. I'm sure they wouldn't ask you to work every service probably, but I know Brother Linegar thinks he's going to be able to have, he's mentioned two or three times he thinks he can seat 1,000. I don't think he can. I've been to that church two or three times since, and it's not much bigger than this church except it's got a balcony. But I don't think, what can we get Brother Stewart in here with chairs and everything? Well, their building, I think, is the same dimensions as this, except they've got a balcony. But that balcony, I don't think, can seat 200. I don't think he can seat 1,000. But do you think that building's even bigger than this? Well, they're building on it, but they're not using it for the meeting. That would be overflow dining. But they're not using that for the meeting. They're using his sanctuary. This sanctuary is 80 by 70, isn't it? Their sanctuary, I think, it's the same width. Yeah, it's the same width. I think it's 70, but I think it might be 90. It's maybe 88? Okay. Well, then it's not much different than this building. I mean, I've been there two or three or four times, and I don't think it's much bigger than this, but it's got a balcony. And the balcony's, you know, pretty big. So you probably might get 200. If they can get 1,000 people there in a hallelujah, I'm all for it. But I think they're going to be, and they're going to be jam-packed however many they can hold, because it's right in the Bible Belt. You know, they're just, it's like us. You know, however, if we could have a general meeting, we could probably get 1,000 easy in here, but, I mean, not in here, but I mean here. Yeah, well, I know there was a dining room one time in one of the youth meetings. The dining room was nearly full of people. I had like 650 or so, didn't we, for Brother Stewart? 900. There was as many people everywhere else besides in here. Okay. Well, anyway, whatever they can hold, they need help. And it's a general meeting. I know there's two or three ministers tried to get Brother Linger to change it to a minister's meeting, but He wants to hold it to a general meeting because that's what they've always had in Oklahoma City. So anyway, if you're going to go and you're willing to help, let's get your hands so I can let them know. Okay, Brother Paul, David, Brother Anthony, Brother Tally, Sister Inez, Brother Mike. I can remember these names. Sister Julie, Sister Tally, Brother Painter, Sister Painter. And okay. And Brother Daniels. I think I can remember that. Sister Ann's going, Brother Thompson. I think. She says she's going. She told me, I'm going and I'm going to help. So tell them I'll be there. So unless you change that. Huh? She, you know, she'll do whatever Brother Paul tells her so he can change it. But I really believe that. I'm not just saying that. But anyway, I know she's planning on going. So now, what about if your mom and daddy raised their hands? The painters. Neth and I raised and the painter girls did. So y'all willing to work, huh? A little bit? You know? Okay. What, Brother Anthony, is your family going? No. Okay. So, all right. Well, we'll plan on that. I'll let them know. That would be good help if y'all can go and be there. I know it's during the week. Nowadays, it's a little harder to take off during the week. But if you can, of course, if it gets exciting again, somehow people make a way. But I realize that it's not as, you know, I mean, when things is really getting exciting, you remember how it used to be where we just couldn't hardly miss a meeting, and somehow we made a way. But I know everybody can't go to every meeting. It's just too difficult in our world. And so, but I will tell you this. I think everybody ought to try to go to a general meeting if you can once a year. But, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, you'd be doing wrong if you didn't. I realize things happen. But I'll tell you, it'll keep your vision alive. It'll help you. General meetings will help you immensely. It'll revive what this is all about in your life. You can get down and did you know this? It can hurt a church if not very many people go to meetings. It can, because people's vision gets dim, and you don't get that excitement that a meeting gives you, and it just increases your vision and helps you to see what God's doing. I'm telling you, there was the last night of the convention center meeting. I don't know if I've been in any deeper move of God that lasted any longer than that one did. I mean, it just, when they started the band song, the choir started playing, I mean, it just came in. Nobody pumped it up. We weren't praising, trying to get it to come in. It just fell on us. And it reached all the way to the back of the building. I mean, there was, you know, circles all over the building, people getting blessings, and it just went on all night. I mean, it just went on. We didn't even have, that's all we had all night. Wasn't anything you could do with that. And it just, you know, and it hit the ministry. All the ministers were praying for one another on the platform, falling down in the floor and picking one another up. We couldn't, the poor saints of God was standing up there coming up for prayer, and many of them was getting touched, but we couldn't even pray for them because it was hitting the whole row, the front part of the ministry. And they was all praying for one another and in the spirit. And once or twice I looked out and seen the people. And finally they gave up on prayer and they just got in it themselves. And they quit worrying about whether or not anybody's going to pray for them. They just got blessed. So it does. I know it does something for me. Of course, I'm expected to be at all these meetings, and I don't miss one unless it just, you know, I just something really preventive, if you know, prevents me from going, but it keeps me alive, and built up and inspired in the things of God and in our message. So I just want to encourage you. Go when you can. Good to Brother Al. I'm glad you're back in service. We missed you, man. Everybody this morning was looking around saying, "Where's Brother Al? Where's Brother Al?" So I'm glad he's feeling better. I know he was sick through the night last night and today, but I'm glad he feels better. Keep praying for him and asking God to help him. Let's just have church and see what the Lord has. Who? Brother Steve Wallace asked for prayer. Also, Brother and Sister Bryant. Sister Bryant's got to be in the hospital in the morning for test, and she's not feeling well. Brother Bryant said he felt like he ought to stay with her, and he asked for prayer. He texted me that this morning, and I failed to mention it. So maybe we just stand right here before we have. All right, Sister Holly. And remember Brother Johnson, Brother Ron Johnson, his wife. They found some more. There's two or three little places in her chest x-ray that has got larger. She's got to go for test back to Seattle sometime, I think, this month or next month. And they're just watching her right now. But anyway, she's really, you know, suffering in her health. And Brother Johnson, I know, appreciates and desires our prayers. What else? We can take a minute here to ask God to. Brother Henry, yes. All right, Brother McGowan. Brother Jacob. How about unspoken requests? I know there's plenty of them. Oh, Brother and Sister Crow, yes. Sister Eva. Reva. All right. Keep also the Dominican Republic. Your prayers, there's just many needs over there, and there's one special need. We're trying to get a direction from the Lord on. And so just remember that work. There's just a lot going on over there, and God's blessing it, but there's all kinds of needs. So I'm just asking you to remember it in your prayers. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness to us. Oh, God, these many needs that we have, Lord, God, just work your will in every one of them, Jesus. Oh, God, we're asking you to heal those that are sick in their bodies. If it would fit in your will, Lord, oh, God. And these many, many needs that are not health-related, Jesus. Oh, God, help us, Lord. To work in the Dominican Republic, Lord Jesus. Meet those needs. Help us, O God. Protect us, O God, with your will and your purpose. O God, the saints, each one of their needs, God, you know their unspoken requests, Jesus. God, help us. Help us with these needs, Jesus. We're your children, and we know that you're our present help in the time of need. Hallelujah. We're trusting in you, Jesus. Bless this service. Bless the band, the music. Give us a touch from you tonight. Let us sup with you, Lord, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. All right. All right, let's just have church.
Sweet, sweet spirit of God. God has done.
Think about the victory.
He has won. Oh, think about times you were down and out. Think about how God brought you out. Think about the sweet, sweet Spirit of God way down in your soul. Oh, once like a bird in prison I dwell. And from my sorrow I felt, but Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He said, be free, oh, He said, be free, yes, He said, be free.
He broke the bond,
a prison for me, oh, I glory now, glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. The feet are planted on higher ground.
what? He set me free. He set me free. You know, it's not just free to do whatever I will, but free to find that perfect will in Him. Free to be free from this sinful nature one day. And that's what we're striving for. Tell you what, there's something to be excited about tonight. There's something to realize, oh God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us this vision. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of the body of Christ. And you are a part of that too. I'm excited tonight. Let me tell you, I feel that spirit down inside. That's what I'm free to come in here. I'm free to lift my hands to raise His name up upon high because He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all praise. Don't you feel that spirit tonight? That's what you're free to do. You're free to lift up your voice. You're free to put yourself on the altar. You're free to hear this wonderful message that we have. We've been given a wonderful opportunity. I tell you, Brother Smith, yes, those words that you said today, they were sobering on one level, but on another level, it built something deep down inside that you know what? This is the truth. You know, it'd be easy to hear that message that Jesus spoke about, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. You know, we have that opportunity tonight. We have that opportunity. The gate is open. The gate is open. Our gate was speaking today to us. Our gate was opening. Brother Smith, as he was giving the word forth and helping us to see a little bit more, you know, I appreciate being able to come to a place, and if I have ears to hear, if I have eyes to see, if I'll just listen and realize, you know what? This is not, it's by grace. I understand that it's by His mercy, but He even says that God giveth grace to the humble. See, I need to humble myself down, and I can even go further than that and realize I can't even get the humility without God helping me on that. So it is by grace, but I have to put forth myself. I have to offer myself and say, God, I want it. I want it. He's offering, but am I willing to receive it today? I want to pull that in. Whew, I couldn't help it, brother. I got that. I tell you,
those of you who I don't know, some of the our brothers that came from, sisters that came from Republic. I don't know if you remember my uncle Ed Tucker. You know, it was something that as a kid I used to watch him. But when he would get in the spirit, his left leg would just shake. I mean, it would just go like crazy. And I never made fun of him. All right, I wasn't that kid, but I thought it was odd. Well, I don't know if it's a Tucker thing or whatever, but whenever I start getting in the spirit, when I feel it, my legs start shaking, and there's nothing I can do about it. So if you see that, it's just who we are, I guess. But I say I appreciate being here. I appreciate being able to be free in God's spirit tonight. That's free to be able to receive what God has for us. You know how wonderful it is. This world doesn't have anything to offer. Let me tell you, I never have been, just hear me out on this, don't judge me on it. I've never been a really pro Facebook, okay? The Lord used it for what it needed to be. He used, and I really do see that through that I was able to find a good wife, a one I appreciate so much. You know, He used it for that. But beyond that, you know, as you're just strolling through there, it's just like, man, what is this world coming through today? If it's through news streams, if it's through friends of friends, and you see different things, it's like, God, there's nothing out there. But thankfully, we have a hope tonight. We don't have to worry about what's going on in this world today, Sister Durham. We've got a hope in Him. We've got a hope in Him. This is just a journey we're going through. This isn't our home. Hey, we're a pilgrim today. Hey, guys, I don't know if y'all have read Pilgrim's Progress yet, but that's a wonderful book. See, Christian, he realized that the city of destruction, that wasn't his home. He realized that the book said there's somewhere else to be. There's somewhere else, and that hunger down inside started hitting him. He realized, this isn't where I need to be. And that's where we're at today. We're on this journey for Him. We're saying, you know what? God gave us a scroll. He said, Brother Talley, I'm calling you. Come and follow me. He said, Brother Durham, I'm calling you. Come and follow me. He said to all of you, hey, I'm calling you. Are you answering the call today? I want to answer that call. Whatever it be, Lord, wherever I need to go, you know, this city of Little Rock, Arkansas, has got so many people that are looking for something today. They don't have that spirit deep down inside. They haven't been made that that abode for Christ and for God to come and dwell in them. They haven't had that opportunity. They may not even know it exists. Well, Lord, there's a place here in Little Rock, Arkansas, where they can receive that, isn't it? There's a place here in Little Rock, Arkansas that you and I already have the opportunity. We already know about that. God, let it have its perfect work in me. You know, I don't want to go to a Bible study like we had today and listen to what was said and then dismiss it. Or just think of it as it's no big deal. What was God talking to my heart about? See, I can't speak for my brothers and sisters, but as I was hearing, I have to apply that into me. Lord, what are you talking to me about today? Do I need, you know, when those thoughts come my way, am I putting that guard up? Am I saying, no, I'm not going to think on those things? You know, have you ever had those random thoughts that you're like, where did that come from? You know, I mean, just random ones. I don't want, though, as they come my way, I don't want to stop and then, wait, I'll just hold on to that second. And then let me look at it a little bit further. And I start examining it. And I start thinking about it. Next thing you know, that conception is occurring, and it's putting that sin down in my life. I'm now acting on it in my mind. I may not have committed with a physical action, but my mind's already there. My mind is all ready for me to pull the trigger. God forbid on that. God forbid. Let me put a guard. Let me put that hedge up around my mind and say, no, because I serve a great God. Get thee behind, Satan. And I can look in the mirror and say, no, boy, you're not getting the better of me today because I serve the living God. I serve a God that can help me get through those things. I don't have to. That's the thing. I am free. I am free. I'm free to worship Him. I don't have to be a slave to this world anymore. I'm not a slave to death anymore. When we were born in this world, we were sold out. Adam sold us out. We were sold into slavery. That best, what do we have? Death. But with Christ, we have life. And that more abundantly. And I've said, Lord, you know what? The wonderful thing is, it's just like that the story that it relates about the love slave. The slave. Okay, so after the time of indenture, after they've paid their debt, they're good to go. Sister Stewart, you know, we're free. We're free. But now it's that choice of saying, no, Lord, I don't want to be free to do my own will. God, get that all. Let me put my ear to the doorpost, Lord. Hit that through there and let me be a love slave to you, God. I'm yours, Lord, to do whatever it is. Your will is what? Not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's what is important here today. Let my thoughts be your thoughts, Lord. What is it? That way, if I can get my thoughts out of the way, if I can put down that old man, if I can put down that nature of iniquity, that is who I am from that standpoint, that human nature, if I can do that, then I can start hearing the will of God. Then my eyes will start seeing the will of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They'll see God, Brother Leonard would say, in everything. It's not that they'll see him with our eyes necessarily, but we'll see him working. Just like a brother years ago mentioned about the book of Esther, how nowhere in the book of Esther will you see it mentioned God or Lord or save, anything of that nature. But when you read the book, is it not inferred through the entire book? Do you not see God's hand working all through that? But it never mentions him at all. But yet you know God is there. And he's in control of the situation. That's how I want to have my eyes open to be able to see God in everything. I want to be able to see as he's working in my life. And I want to submit myself. You know, in Romans, does it not say that I should present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? My reasonable service. Let me go back there. Holy and acceptable. Ooh. Let me say that a little slower. Holy and acceptable. If I look at my heart, if I go before that perfect law of liberty, can I say, God, I'm presenting myself holy and acceptable to you? Oh, God. If I can't say that, I'm falling short. I need to fall on the rock and be broken and say, God, work that out of me. I want to be able to present myself holy and acceptable because it is my reasonable service so that I can be what? Transformed by the renewing of my mind. Okay? So I can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in me, in you, as God works in us. If I will just yield. If I will just do as Christ said and say, not my will, but thy will be done. In what? In everything. In every facet of my life. In every area. It may not be that if I decide to drink water versus tea, okay, that particular decision, but it's my actions. It's truly, it's what is my purpose? What is my conversation like? My attitude, my motives, my priorities. Where are they in God today? Are they focused on Him or am I committing iniquity? Is my conversation not where it needs to be? And you can use conversation from both aspects, whether it be my literal speaking, how I talk. But the thing is, it relates the other way as well. The conversation, my life. My life is speaking to those around me. My attitude speaks to those around me. If I'm ever in a doom and gloom mood, if I'm ever down, if I'm ever depressed, am I showing forth the mighty works of God? Is that the God that we serve, the doom and gloom God? Or do we serve a just and mighty God? How did that first song go right there? About the think on the good things that He has done, the victories that I thought it said you have won. Through Him, but without His help, we wouldn't have won those victories. But that's what I want to think about. That's what I want to uplift today. It's that God has helped us overcome. We haven't overcome from the full measure of it, but we are overcoming daily. If I will put my flesh down a little bit more today, if I say no more to me and yes to You, Lord. No more to me and yes to You, Lord. What do You want me to do? Where are my motives at? Are my motives pure? Am I thinking about myself and my own gain? Or am I seeking my brother's wealth? Am I trying to give to others? And I don't mean as far as if I'm just out in the street and, hey, you're a sinner, repent. Let me give you something here today. But how about if I give them love? If I give them consideration? If I can't do that in this church, with my brothers and sisters who I have grown up around, they have known me my whole life, and I have known some of them their whole life, if I can't show you, my brother and sister, how much more will I not show those that I have nothing to do with? I want to show forth that love. I want to show forth, because I've been given that love. I can't remember who it was recently spoke about this, about... come to me, but basically about, oh, was it you, Brother Smith? No, or was it Brother Coles today about when he first started coming around, it was that love that caught his eye, that love that he felt, okay? You know, I'm not going to ever dwell in that I left. That's not the important part. The important part for me is that there was a place to come back to and that the love of God was here. If the love of God had not been here, I'd have came through those doors and went right back out of them. Because I was looking for it. I was thinking, huh, yeah, maybe God's dealing with me, but you can't prove it, you know. But you did. Because you opened your arms and you said, hey, we missed you. Hey, we love you. Now, you didn't say, in spite of you being a knucklehead. You didn't say that. You may have thought it. As I come in with my blonde hair and my earrings in, you going, oh, Lord, charity suffers long, but really, this is not in there. There's nothing about blonde hair and earrings in here. Oh, do I have to put up with this? But you did. You opened your arms for me. You said, hey, you know what you need. As Brother Daniel said, we ain't never stopped praying for you. We've never stopped praying for them out there who first off, our brothers and sisters who have heard the word, who it's been put in their mind. What if, just like I think in one place, the was, I can't remember exactly the reference, and y'all can help me on this, but there was a certain person that was healed from an affliction, and they were asking, well, why was this person afflicted? You know, was it sin in their life, or was it sin in their parents' life? And I think it was Christ who said, no, that they, this was for the glory of God, is what it was for. How do I know that God wants to test me in this, and that if I'll just dedicate a little more time for praying for someone else? No, this is crazy, right, for me. All right, you know, I'm not praying, oh God, help me with my bills this month. Oh Lord, my car broke down. Oh Lord, my boss is a knucklehead and he's being mean to me. He's not, he's a good guy, I'm just saying. Any of those things, but I'm saying, you know, Lord, so-and-so sat right there. And I remember sitting by him. And I remember being touched by you with them in my arms. And I remember seeking you in your face, Lord. And your spirit dwells in them, God. That same Holy Ghost that's down in our life is in their life. God, I'm asking you, don't forget them, Lord. I'll show you that I'm not forgetting them. And I'll raise them up to you, Lord. And I'll remind you daily. I'll be like that woman that kept going to the judge, knocking on that door. I'm knocking on that door, that unjust judge. But you know what? He's not an unjust judge. He is a just judge. And he maybe just says, you know, maybe this is just for my glory. I'm just trying to show Phil Fisher that if he would just reach out a little bit more, if he'd just take a little bit more time out of his schedule to pray for someone else, to lift them up. If I put a name on his head, he better be on his knees. He may not have to physically be on his knees if I'm driving a vehicle, but if that name comes in my head, maybe that's God saying, hey, Brother Phil, if you start praying for them, how do you know they don't need it right now? Let me tell you, there were times when I wasn't here, I needed your prayers. I was in a dark place. I was in places that I would have been ashamed if any of you had seen me there. I can remember, I wasn't even doing anything, you know, wrong. I can remember going on my way to the Buckle one time when I was working, before I ever came back to church, and Brother Talley stood telling us so involved. And I couldn't face him. I don't want to see him. Why? Because I knew I'd feel conviction. I didn't want that. But bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for his people. Thank you for that love. That love. That love is so important. I just wanted to get up and say, you know what? We're free here today. We're free to do his will. We're free to know more about him today. Thankfully, I can come to a place where I can hear the truth. And I'm with people who know the value of it. Who knows that these things that are being taught are life. Think about that. The things that we're hearing, it's that when we're on that journey, day by day, something that we could have heard here tonight or earlier today, when I'm struggling this Thursday, something's going on, I can go back to that in my mind. I can start singing that song. Think about the good things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And that's how I can change my attitude right there. That's how my motives can change. And that's how my priorities, how I'll realize, God, I'm not here to make X amount of dollars, to have X amount of children, to have a large house on the hill, but I'm here to serve you, God. I'm here to do your will. Those things, I'm not saying they're wrong. God has blessed me in that manner, but I can't let that be my priority. I can't let that be my life. That is just part of me on my journey. But it's not, it's part of the journey, but it's not the destination. That destination is to truly be able to put down that flesh. It's to be able to yield completely to God's will and say, Lord, what he says, I'm completing the Lord's sentences. You know, Zach had a little slip not too long while back. And we all understood what he meant when he was talking about relationships and the relationship that we're supposed to have with the Lord. But it is an intimate relationship. You know, we speak of it as a relationship to a father to a son. I want to know what my Father wants before He even asks me. You know, He knows my needs before I even ask Him. But I want to be able to know His will before He... All He's got to do is just a gentle... And if He does just whisper, I'll hear it because my ears will be dull to Him. But if I continue to get the things of the world and put them in my ears, if I continue to eat the wrong things in my life and give myself a taste for those things that are not of God, are not His will, then all that's going to do is it's just going to dull my senses. I'm just going to continually desensitize myself to His Spirit. And God forbid that that happen. If I can't come in here, if I can't lift my hands up and feel that Spirit, if I can't feel that touch, if I can't feel that Holy Ghost welling up inside me, then there's something wrong. And what do I need to do? The beautiful thing, what do we need to do? All we have to do is just get down on our knees and say, God, have mercy. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, take away that dam out of my life. Take away those, take away the blinders from my eyes. Take away these earplugs from my ears and help me to see and hear what You want for me today. That's what I want here today. Folks, when I feel that Spirit and I look back and I realize the things that God has taken me through, now, I haven't had a horrible life. Even in my bad times, I've had blessings. Well, I should be lifting Him up more then. I should be praising Him and realize that and not take it for granted. God, have mercy on me, a sinner, Lord, because that's what I am. But you know what? I don't have to stay there. Do we? Do I have to stay there? No, because I have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, who is talking to Him and saying, I get it. I get it, Father. I get what they're going through. I've walked in those shoes before. I've seen those things. I've felt the horrors of that world. But He is calling out ever, saying, all right, I've made a way for you. Now you can do it too. And that's just it, though. I have to realize that I am free to worship Him. I'm free to lift Him up. I am free to praise His name. And I don't want to forget that. I don't want to forget that. I'm free to do that when I am down in the dumps. What's that old song? Hallelujah, anyhow. Never let your troubles get you down. No matter what trials life may bring, lift your head up high and sing hallelujah anyhow. Can we sing that? Hallelujah anyhow. That's all right, Lord. No matter come what may. Why? Not because of me, but because of Him. Because of what He's doing in my life. If I will continually present myself a living sacrifice. So that like He had related and I said once before, so we can one day hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Are we not looking forward to hearing that today? Aren't you, Brother McGowan? When you hear Brother Smith talking about things in Revelation, the things to come, or today about how to get that much closer to God, how to put the flesh down, how to get iniquity out of our heart. Hey, that's words of truth today. We're being given words of truth. I want to lift that up. I want to say, thank you, Lord. I pray Your grace and mercy to let it have a perfect work in my life. I don't want to have deaf ears to it. But just as Brother Smith also has related, God, I don't want to beat myself up if I do trip and fall. Because Brother Thompson, I know this. I may hear these words. They may set me on fire. And then my mind goes, now, how does that work? How? What? What did he say again? How can I do that? You know what? By just lifting my hands and saying, God, I don't have all the answers. I can't within myself overcome this flesh. I'm not trying to live back under a law. But I can just lift my hands to You and say, God, through Your mercy, through Your grace, through that wonderful, sweet Holy Ghost, that's how. That's how we're going to do it. Little by little, day by day. If I can just make one more step tomorrow, if I can make, forget get tomorrow. If I can make one more step today, if I could just take one more step forward and say, Lord, hey, I'm that much closer to you. Tomorrow, I'm taking another step, Lord. And then tomorrow comes, I'm taking one more step. Next thing you know, you turn around and what? We're there. We're there. So I just wanted to get up tonight and lift my hands to Him and say, we are free, church. We are free to lift Him up, to praise His mighty name, to sing about His glory, because He is worthy of all praise.
Lots of homeless veterans here in Little Rock. They're not asking for a shelter. They're only asking for sheets or something to put over their bodies. How can we show our men and our women that have gone over? I was telling that lady that was here today, she knows my granddaughter. God is so marvelous. The world is so small. My granddaughter, my oldest son's daughter, these two, Sister Cor, or whatever her name is, and Tina go to church together in Connecticut. And when Nathan told me that her husband is getting ready to retire next year, I got to thinking about all the veterans in my family, and we have quite a few. And two of them are handicapped from service in the military. But then I met this man, and he had a bucket. He wasn't asking for a house for those veterans. Those veterans, for whatever reason, they have given the best that they had. My middle son gave the best he had. He gave his mind. Michelle's brother gave his mind. He's a schizophrenic now. How can we show these homeless men? They don't ask for a house. They just want some clothes. How can we show them that we are living the unadulterate, the mixed up, clear, nothing hindering us from serving God? How can we do it, folks? It breaks my heart to know that our veterans are so damaged. It breaks my heart. I love the Lord. And I'm very proud. Maybe a mother shouldn't be proud, but I am proud of my children that are here tonight. But I have children that are scattered all over, whose minds, I'm going to tell you, I have a grandson that's in the penitentiary, a veteran. How can we put forth what we have? I don't necessarily mean money. I mean put forth the love that God is showing us. I'm begging you. Let's find a way to put forth something that you can drop a dollar in a bucket to try to find these homeless veterans here on the streets of Little Rock. I'm sure that there will be a way, because I believe in God, and I know that God will listen to us. He listened to us, to Destra and I, up there. And He brought us out. The last time we came down here, and we went home blessed. And we went home to trouble. And my husband said, I will never go back to that church. And we never did. I have moved down here. Destra's coming Tuesday. We plan to make our home down here. And I want to just some way, somehow, not be ashamed to walk by an empty bucket and know that I could have put more in to this bucket that would at least buy a blanket for a homeless veteran. They're not asking for houses. Lots of these veterans are so mixed up that they probably don't know what they're doing. But God knows what they're doing, and He knows the veterans. He knows the pain that they went through. When Galen came back, when he got his mind back partway, it was amazing, but it was terrifying. And it was when he went into the Navy, strong, top of the mill. When he came out, he was on the streets of Los Angeles. He had lost his memory. We need to do more. I know that God knows us. God knows us. He's here among us. And if we will call on Him, that we can help provide something, I honestly believe, so help me God, I believe that we will see veterans out here asking to come in to get a blessing. If we can just, that young man that I spoke with yesterday, if I know that we can, that we can give something back, us who have received so much, because we have received a lot from God here in this church, no longer than I have been here. Folks, I'm telling you, we can do it. We can make our veterans. We can give this such a place that, if nothing else, I don't know. I don't know how to do it, or I probably would be out there trying. But I do know that there is a great need for these veterans that have wounded their spirit, their soul, their bodies, in this terrible war that we are in and that we're going in. I honestly believe that we're going into more war. I can't even stand to watch television anymore. But let's pray, how can we help our veterans? Not the ones that are okay. My second son, actually it's my son-in-law, he walks like this now. Too many airplanes he had to jump out of. His name is Sam. He lives in Fort Leonardwood. I won't even go into some of the rest of my family, but I know that God is over us, that He has His hands surrounding us, and I honestly believe that we can help our veterans. We can show them that there is a way that will make them want the Holy Ghost. You know how many veterans don't have the Holy Ghost. They have never received the blessing of the Holy Ghost. And I wouldn't take anything for the gift that God gave me when He gave me the Holy Ghost. I'm asking you folks, let's pray about our veterans. How can we help them? Not just put a dollar in that bucket to try to come up with some clothes or something for them. He said they're not looking for a place. He said, these are the veterans that are living on the streets. They are part of the homeless of Little Rock. The children that are homeless, that's tragic. But they're taking care of a lot of, in Springdale, they're taking care of a lot of the illegals that are coming in. But it's our American boys that are being hurt. That was brought out that two veterans walked up and they said something to the man with the bucket. And they both, all three, knew what they were talking about. I didn't. I was just there looking at the bucket and thinking those thoughts. So I'm asking you folks, when you pray, let's pray for the veterans of Little Rock. Just, you know, say thank you, God, for the day, and let's pray for the veterans. Because I believe, folks, that this is a wonderful light, or I wouldn't be standing here tonight. I'm renting a house down here. I sold my last house. And I want to be here But I sure don't want to see our veterans suffer anymore.
Say family fit in right here.
Give God a praise myself for the things we've been hearing here today. Even though some of it may sound sobering, it's still a good thing to know we do have a chance and the ability to one day reach perfection. And that's something to be excited about, and that's something to praise God about. So I want to stand and give him a praise for that, for what we have here today. I also had the opportunity to go to this last convention center general meeting, and it was wonderful. As Brother Smith said, that last night's service, the Spirit just covered the whole building. There wasn't nobody got a chance to get up and talk, testify, preach. They started the song, and it just rose up all over the place. And it was wonderful to feel that and be a part of it, to see what God's doing in his church, and that he's building a church. The different parts of the body of Christ coming together, and there's a greater feeling of unity in the body of Christ that I've ever seen before in my life. And it's wonderful what God's doing. I also enjoyed Brother Bud's talk about Brother Smith talked about it Wednesday night. About being a 212 church, because water boils at 212 degrees, and anything below that, you may make a lot of racket, but you're not going to be a boiling church unless you reach that point, unless you reach that high point. So, do we want to make a lot of racket and noise, or do we want to be the kind of churches that's going to make a difference? And It was kind of amusing to hear, and the first thing that came to my mind when I heard that was, well, I don't like my meat well done, because he said we want to, it brings a new definition to where God told us well done, because he wants us to be a well done church. And I thought, well, I don't like my meat well done. I like my meat medium rare. And I thought of that, and I was comparing that, and I realized, you know, my idea of what God's church should be may not necessarily be what God wants his church to be. And I can get so focused on my idea of how things should be, but that may not be what God wants it to be. And I want God to help to develop in me a taste for well-done meat. So I can have a taste for righteousness. I can know what he wants his church to be, and I can help him work toward that. So it's wonderful to be a part of what we're doing, and I just wanted to give God a praise for it.
Messages like we heard today in Bible study and before, and they become more clear, don't they? I mean, and when it comes more clear, it comes more pointed. It points right at us, doesn't it? And so, you know, I thought after hearing these things, you know, and we kind of understand where we're at, you know, in the big scheme of things, and realize that you know, we're not in real good shape. I mean, in the sense that of what we're realizing at the moment. You know, we're in good shape. Don't misread me. Sometimes my words, my mouth gets ahead of my brain sometimes. But anyways, I thought that, you know, I'll tell you what I felt. After hearing, you know, the message today and the thoughts that we're talking, I thought, Lord, who can be saved? But Jesus, he replied, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are impossible. And that puts comfort and hope back in our hearts, doesn't it? Because even though we do see the job, I mean the our condition we can individually think, oh Lord, oh wretched man that I am, in a sense. But at the same time, you know, I think it's Galatians, and the Bible says to this effect that even though you're an heir of God, as long as you're a child, you're no more than a servant, but are under tutors and governors until the appointed time of God. And so it tells us, that gives us hope, doesn't it? There is an appointed time of God in there. And what that lets me know that, yes, in certain ways I am growing up, but in certain ways I'm still a child of God. But there's going to be an appointed time. And so I appreciate the hope that God gives us. Then he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So we can rejoice in the hope that God gives us.
Keep standing up, Brother Fleming, but I'm just going to say this while he's getting ready to talk. I thought of when Brother Thompson mentioned that. That's what his disciples said when he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. And one of them said, who, Lord, then can be saved? They thought about that. You know, Israel thought, and they were trained all their life to be blessed of God, would have lots of children, receive your land of inheritance, and be blessed with many cattle, and prosper in the things of God like their father Abraham. And here Jesus said, told them, it's easier for a camel to go through the needle than it is for a rich man to go to heaven. They said, dear God, who can be saved? Of course, it took them a while to get the message to understand why it would be hard to be saved. What it took to be saved. Brother, go ahead, Brother Fleming.
Brother Thompson was saying is the same thing I thought this morning after Bible study. I thought, oh, wretched man that I am, when you realize how far short we are of where God wants us to be. But we sang that song, that chorus Wednesday night, Let There Be Singing, let there be joy, let there be praise in the house of the Lord. Let there be mercy, rejoice, rejoice. We're building together the house of the Lord. So that's the first time I've heard that chorus seemed like in a while. We used to sing that chorus. I don't know if we still sing it, but it says, I found a fellowship so real, peace and love that you can feel. To sum it up, I'm glad to say I found the body. There's a difference now in me since from Babylon I'm free, and I'm so glad to say I found the body. So, Brother Smith, you were talking about not long ago that you would feel sorry for people out in religion, you know, and I feel sorry for people that haven't had a chance to hear this message, or if they've heard it, they don't enjoy it or don't get their eyes open to it. But for the past 7 years, I've been going to eat pizza with my neighbor. He'll be 90 this month, and His wife used to go with us, but she deceased 2-3.5 years ago. So through them, I've come to know this man and his wife. They've been coming for 7 years. They don't come every week, but they're ever since I've known them, they've been Lutherans. And so they told me earlier this year they became disenchanted with their church, so they weren't going anywhere. So then not long ago, they said, well, we're going back to church now. And I said, where are you going? They said, United Methodist. I thought, oh, Lord, you're just going from one darkness to another, you know. And it makes you appreciate that God would even open your eyes to this when you see so many people just doing their own thing. And like Brother Smith was talking about a while back, you know, thank God we've been enlightened. We got more enlightenment to go, but we have been enlightened. And Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And you know, he's a superior creature, because before we come to Christ, we have no hope at all. We're just lost and undone. So we become a superior creature, and we have hope after we come to Christ. And there's a scripture in the New Testament that says we are saved by hope. And I believe there's a scripture in Psalms that says the Lord takes not pleasure in the strength of a horse or the legs of a man, but he takes pleasure in those that hope in his mercy. So I'm just thankful that God has shown mercy to us. And this is a lighthouse. This world is getting so dark. I visited we had a family reunion 4 or 5 weeks ago. So my dad's cousin was there, and she's 91 years old, and she's a widow. And she said, come see me sometime. So a week ago Friday, I went to see her, and she was so glad to have some company. Well, while she was there, one of her sons dropped by. And he's about 64, and I said, well, are you retired? And he said, well, more or less. He said, I'm qualified to teach school, but he said, these kids in these schools are so unruly. He said, I just can't take it. He said, they're worse in Little Rock than they are in Conway. And then there was an article in the paper Wednesday that talking about kids in this generation, so many of them are self-centered. It's all about the almighty me. So truly, we are living in a decaying, decadent world. It is good to have this, be in this lighthouse, and it's good to be here for this evening service. For last Sunday, I went to eat. When I came back, there was nobody here. Brother Ratliff was in Missouri. I couldn't get in, and so it was hot and humid. I stood out there till 3 o'clock, and I thought, well, they're not having band practice today. I can stand here another hour in this heat. So I decided the best thing for me to do was go to Conway, but thank God it's good to be here tonight.
I just wanted to say, I really appreciate, and I don't know where we can hear what we heard today. You know, the thing that has stuck out of my mind, I guess more than anything, Brother Smith's been talking about it, is giving up our will. We've got to get rid of our will and surrender to the will of God. You know, you think about, Brother Fleming made mention of those young people that are unruly. They're sitting on the throne of their own heart is what they're doing. And their will, their body is, you know, Brother Smith is toning the tone and say, we've got to rule over our mind, we've got to rule over our body. They're not doing that. And that's this world going one direction and God's people going another direction. And then Brother Smith was talking about today this iniquity that's inside of our life because of our will, because of the way we think. Sister Ann was saying it. We're trying to break it down simple downstairs, you know. Brother Tucker used to say, we don't break down God's word verse by verse. We break it down not even word by word. We break it down letter by letter. We were trying to break it down simple. Or Brother Smith was trying to break it down simple, and I was trying to comprehend it. I feel like sometimes praying, God, anoint our ministers where they can break the bread, and anoint our ears where we can hear. You know, we've got our ears got to be anointed. And I was trying to comprehend what Brother Smith was saying today. And that iniquity and that, you know, that was raining. And Brother Fred Stewart was trying to help Brother Smith break it down. All of us were trying to break it down. But, you know, he's a high priest that's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When we get on our knees and knock on heaven's door, we talk to somebody that knows how we feel. That makes me feel better. He had the nature of Abraham. He was trying to get rid of his will. You know, and of course, Brother Smith and I was talking a little bit after, and I asked him, you know, when Jesus prayed, "Lord, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will," he caught it. He fought it back. You remember when he was fought with them, he was tempted with those three temptations, you know, turning the stones into bread and jumping off of the cliff. And what was that other temptation he had? I can't remember. What was it? Yeah. He was qualified. He could rule over the kingdoms of the world. You know, they even tried to make him king. And they even asked him, "Lord, when will you come into your kingdom?" But Jesus knew better. He didn't bow down to that that was inside of him even. You know, we talk about we fight evil on two fronts. Without and within. You know, they was asking him, "Lord, we can make you a king." But then he was fighting that with inside of him too. He said, you know, and he fought it with God's word. And that's what he did when he was praying. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." You know, we got to surrender. I'm seeing more and more. Paul made the statement, you know, that he was trying to get to where that it was no longer him, but it was God. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to surrender. I was telling my brother McGowan yesterday, I said, I can see more where we can advance by just simply surrendering. If we just surrender, we'll move ahead. Whereas if we fight for ourselves, we're actually taking God's job over. It's His will, it's His job to exalt us, and it's our job to humble us down. And if we're not careful, we'll get it backwards. We'll try to exalt ourselves, and He has to humble us down. That's right backwards. But, you know, if we can just get our priorities straight and humble down, say, "Lord, Your will be done. Whatever You want, God. Whatever You want." You know, and I've even thought about this. You know, if God gives us the gifts of healing, I think I've said this before. If you don't mind, let me say it again. If God gives us the gifts of healing, we can't just go around healing everybody. We can't do that. And Brother Smith talked about that. How many times did Jesus walk by that man that Peter and John walked by? It wasn't Jesus' will. It wasn't God's will for him to evidently heal that man. And then what if God give us all kinds of money? What if we become millionaires? Sister, you were talking about helping these people. You know, we got to seek God's will. Whatever God wants. Whatever He wants. Because we could have a ton of money. But we got to seek His face. "God, do You want us to do this?" Because we might be hurting them people. We might be. I mean, if we... And, you know, it's like we get on our knees and pray, "God, give me, whatever it is we're asking for." And it really might hurt us if God give it to us. What is it? There's a song on radio talking about some of the best answered prayers is the ones where God said no, or He just didn't answer them at all. Or He did answer them. Okay. Yeah, because... Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like our children. You know, our children say, "Mom, I want some candy." Oh, you ever see? Oh, but I don't go to children. You know, and the mom says, "No." Well, you know, that mama knows best, and the child, you know, it's a will against a will. That's about what it boils down to—a will against a will. And I like candy. I try to be an adult. I'm supposed to be. I think I'm the size of one. I try, you know, I still like candy and ice cream and cake and pie. But you know, even at my age, that stuff will get you. Huh, Sister Watson? Huh? It will. It'll get you. Make you the round man.
deeper, and you know where you fix it, where you can actually lay down and roll and go faster than you could if you walked. So, you know, that's the way that works on you like that. Anyway, but God knows best. He knows best, and if we just surrender. Just surrender. God help us. That's all I wanted to say. Probably said too much. Huh? That's good.
Just remember this. It's not up to you altogether. In fact, the big part's not up to you. Just remember, if you'll just serve Him in all that you know to do. And He knows. You know, He knows if you... And you know. You know. You know, you remember that parrot? You know. Y'all remember that? You know. Huh? You don't remember it? Well, this man and woman walked by this little pet shop, and the doors open, there was a parrot in there, and they walked in looking around, and the woman kind of walked up by the parrot cage, and he said, "You're ugly." And it made the guy and woman both mad. And so they told the owner, they said, "This is offensive." So they left. Well, he took that parrot back in the back room, plucked a few of his feathers and told him, said, I'll wring your neck if you keep this up. So you don't talk to my customers like that. So anyway, he worked that parrot over. Well, the next day, that same couple walked back by there. They just wondered, you know, about this parrot would do that again. And so that woman walked kind of by the cage, and that parrot said, "Hey." And she looked at him, and he said, "You know." Anyway, I don't know what that's got to do with this. But anyway, you know. You know if you're doing God's will. You know. I'll never get this across now, will I? I mean, you do know if you're not doing everything right. You know, there's a feeling in the Holy Ghost. Your Holy Ghost will let you know. And so, this is, you know, this remember, God, He knows how to help you. He knows where you're at. And He, if you're taking one step towards Him, He'll take two towards you. And so, Jesus, remember He said this to His disciples. He said, "There's many things that I have to say to you, but you can't bear them." So there's some things God may be revealing to us right now that's almost on the unbearable side. But I think God wants us to begin to embrace the fact that perfection is something marvelous that rids this life, our life, of evil, even the thoughts of it. And God is able to do that for us. It has to do with a nature that we were born of being taken away. And this new nature. I can tell you this, every time I get in the Holy Ghost, I mean, every time the Spirit of God comes in like it did the other night down there in Louisville, Kentucky, and it hit us, I'm telling you, I'd have hugged my worst enemy's neck right then. In fact, I felt like asking y'all this question today, tonight. I almost stopped and asked y'all. Now, some of you wouldn't know the answer to this, but some of you would have an inkling. How many people would be in this church that has ever been a part of the Little Rock Church that live right here in Little Rock? How many people would be here if every one of them were here tonight? I'm going to tell you, this building might not hold them all. That's the truth. I don't know all of them, but I know enough history. I met one of them. My wife and I met one on the street in a store when we first came here. My wife, I found her talking to this guy. They were talking about the church. He didn't know who she was, and she didn't know who he was. Before we got done, he knew who he was, because when he found out where we was, he knew who we was. But he even made the statement. He said that building down there couldn't hold all the people that's been in that church. And you could feel something in his heart that he knew he ought to be here. But I just thought to myself, can you tell God it'd be all right if he sent them back? I think we ought to do that. I think we ought to say, Lord, you can send them back if you want to. We'll receive them. We'll accept them. We'll love them. We'll treat them good. Let me tell you, the offenses of this world don't amount to a hill of beans. Just a little word said, something that, it don't amount to nothing. But it's the heart. It's what's in the heart. I'll tell you, when Sister Smith and I first came to this body, we weren't here very many months that we got offended. We got hurt. We weren't around very long. Maybe a year, maybe it was a year or two. And we were like 90 miles from a church. We was having to drive a long ways to go to church, and we didn't go for a little while. But let me tell you something. God stirred up a hunger in our heart. And one day, I went home, and I told my wife, I said, we're going back. I didn't care about the pride, swallowing my pride. I didn't care about the offense. I didn't care about nothing, because my heart was hungry for what I found, and I knew there wasn't one place to get it back. I said, we're going back. She said, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm not. She said, did you know today God touched me, and I got down in the floor bawling, and I told God I want to go back, but my husband will never go back. He fixed it for both of us. And we didn't care if y'all liked it or not. We came back. I just said, you'll have to learn to love me if you don't love me. Because I'm here. I don't know where else to go. Well, you know, God can begin to, you know, God, he can stir up hearts. There, you know, that story that brother, where did Brother Phil go? He stirred up my thought about that story about the blind man. You know, Jesus was in the temple, and he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they were going to stone him. And he slipped. He passed through the crowd and went on out. And as he passed out, he passed a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, said, who sinned, this man or his parents? And he said, neither one, but this happened for the works of God. He said, for I must do the works of God. And he spit in the dirt and made clay and rubbed it on the guy's eyes and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which being interpreted means sent. And he went and washed his eyes in the pool of Siloam. Now, you know, why did Jesus spit in the dirt and rub this on him? You know, he just felt in the Holy Ghost that's what he's supposed to do. And he just did it. Now see, somebody's liable to make a doctrine that if you're going to heal anybody that's been blind from birth, you got to spit in the dirt. Rub it on their... Yeah. This man... He just obeyed God. He said, you go wash. And he went and washed and he come back seeing. He never seen nothing before. You know what the Pharisees did? They said, who was this guy? This is the Sabbath. You can't be doing stuff like that on the Sabbath. So they called the guy in. I mean, here he is shouting. He's happy because he can see. And they said, who healed you? He said, I don't know. The guy's name was Jesus. He said, well, what, you know, what did he do? He said, who was he? He said, I don't know who he was. I guess he was a prophet. They called the guy's parents in. And they were afraid. They were scared of the judgment. And he said, they said, look, we don't know the guy. we don't know nothing about what happened or how it happened. All we know is this boy was born blind and now he can see. That's all we know. So they said, he's of age. Ask him what happened to him. That's what they said. They got out of it that way. He said, look. They said, look, this man was a sinner. Because we know he wouldn't have disobeyed the law if he had been God's child. He said, look, there ain't no man ever in this whole wide world that y'all know of, or I do either one, that's ever healed a blind man from his birth. I've been blind. Oh, I was born blind. And this man touched me. He said, you can't tell me he was of God. He wasn't of God. And they finally just dismissed him. They didn't know what to do with that. And he went out, and Jesus heard about it. And the man found Jesus, and he asked, and Jesus asked him, he said, do you believe? He said, believe in what? He said, in the Son of God. He said, who is he? He said, he's the one that healed your eyes and the one that you see and hear talking to you right now. He said, Lord, I believe. And I wouldn't doubt, that old boy probably was in the 120, Brother Daniels. He probably stuck with him from that day on. Look, my point is, that man was born blind in the design of God, that Jesus would come along and heal him so that people would believe in him, that the works of God would be done and be a witness that he was God's son. I just was thinking when Brother Phil preached that, I thought, God, there ain't no telling what you're doing. No telling what's going on in this world so that your works are going to be done here in a little while. In a little while, God's going to show up on the scene, and many things that God is doing that people don't know nothing about are so his works can be seen so that people will believe, and that God will draw people into his body and into his work. And you and I are here, and we're going to see it. My God, if I don't make you want to jump, your jumper's broke. Glory be to God. And he just might do it any day. He's able. And we're living in a time. Something's going to break loose here before long. We're feeling, you know, we may not be steam. We may not hit 212 yet, and it ain't no steam, but I can feel the bubbles rattling in the pot. Oh, I feel something coming. Hallelujah! And let me tell you something. There's enough power coming in it to erase any doubt, whether or not you can make it. You'll just before long you'll say, you know, yeah, you'll say that he that's within me, he's the one that's able. There's something within me that's holding my reins. There's something within me that vanishes pain. My God, there's something within me I can't explain, but there's something within that's working in me that's doing the work of God. Hallelujah. My God, saints, what are you going to do when you see blind people healed? Crippled people jumping up and running, and the works of God manifest again. It's going to happen. It's coming back. But God, you know, God's, you know, he's been silent here for a while. They're, I mean, the Lord's not completely silent, but he, you know, it's not working on, we're not up at, we're not right up at the top level of the operation of God yet, right now. But it'll come back. And I wouldn't be surprised if it don't happen fairly soon. I mean, the Lord's doing some things. And I think we ought to, you know, I was just thinking about that tonight. I thought, God, could we accept all those people back? Of course, I don't have a dog in this fight. I wasn't here. So I don't have any problems. But, and I was just looking over. Y'all don't know it, but while church was going, I was looking at every one of y'all. I was saying, could they let them come back? I think most everybody in here would be willing to let them come back. My Lord. You know, God, if we just start praying for them, why don't we start asking God, where else can they go if they live here? This is where they ought to be. That's not because of who you are or who I am, but because of who He is. And this is His kingdom. And we just want His will. Whatever He wants. I just thought, God, maybe we need to, you know, Jesus, when He came, He said, look, go first into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. In other words, go to all of our people. Maybe if we just start praying for them, maybe God would start dealing with them. You know, wouldn't that create some excitement? We had about 100 oldies. What's that? What's them kind of songs? Oldies, oh, what are they? Oldies but goodies? Yeah, what if some of them oldies but goodies, about 100 of them came back in? Wouldn't we be excited? Whew! I'd do something for me. I don't know if y'all could slow me down. Y'all, you know, I mean, I'd try to stay out of the way as much as I could, but I'd just have to do something to show I was happy about it. Oh, God, heal your body. You know, He's going to get His children out of the sea and out of death and hell. He's going to do that out in the end of the 1,000 years, but He's going to do it down here first. He's got children out here in the sea. Out in this world, something happened. Some way they got hurt, offended, or they're victims, or, you know, or they're just, what did you call them, Brother Phil? Rascals. Is that what you called yourself? Knuckleheads. Yeah, maybe some knuckleheads will come back. He's living proof it's possible. And, you know, I don't care if they've got blonde hair and earrings. Let them come. They'll clean up after a while. Oh, I want God to give us some people to love. So pray with me. Would you just pray? Say, God, we're interested in your children. There's people that have this message. There's nowhere else they can go. Let's ask God to let them come back. Send them back, Lord. We'll treat them good. We'll love them. We'll reach out to them. We'll love them with your charity, your love, oh God. Anyway, I did have a feeling about that. I was just thinking about it. My Lord. You know, God, if He would send 200 or 300 of them people back, well, then when one of these mega churches out here gets ready to mega on, well, we'll just take their old building. You know, we'll just pick up one of them buildings that'll seat a couple thousand and let them go on with their mega doings. And anyway, I guess I got big hopes, don't I? Well, it's a big kingdom. And we're serving a big God. And He loves His children. I think He wants them more than I do. I think He's more interested in them than I am. Hallelujah. What do you think they'd do if they knew we was praying for them? You know, I've even said before, some of them I met, I said, I don't want them back. God, forgive me. If you want them back, I want them back. I don't have no reason to say that. I know some of them are knuckleheads. But But God knows how to tame knuckleheads. Let's pray for the easier ones first. I just got to thinking about all this. Let's God give us the ones that'd be easy to take first. You know, that'll get in there and help us. Them troublemakers, if they're going to be too much trouble, let's wait till we get enough help to take them on. No, we'll just take what God sends us. Hallelujah. All right. It's been a good day, I think. I've been fed today with y'all, these good words tonight, songs, Brother and Sister Cole's. Sister Smith probably could have made it back tonight, but we took the Coles out and spent the afternoon just about with them. And Mother, my wife said, your poor mother ain't even had lunch, and it's 4 o'clock nearly before she got home to her. And she said, I don't know whether or not I can get back. And I said, well, just go take care of it. It's necessary for us to spend time with the Coles. They're getting this, you know, and God's causing them to love it and fall in love with it. And I just felt this morning to talk on some things that would help Brother Coles maybe get more history of this and get some of the stories that I've heard that's blessed me. And I never get tired of telling them, and I never get tired of hearing them. I don't care who tells it. It don't have to be me. I just love the history of this, what God's done. I couldn't tell you how many times I've told it in the Dominican Republic. It's just as rich every time I tell it as the first time I told it. I love it. Hallelujah. All right, let's stand. Give God a praise here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Eshon, praise Him. Raise your hands up and praise Him with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Oh, God. Help us, Lord, to do your will. God, we're praying for your people, Lord. Those in this city that have this message in their heart, God, touch them. Reach out to them, oh God. Save them. Bring them back in your kingdom, oh God. Work your will, oh God, and help us to receive and to know it's you, Lord, we pray. God, go with your people this week. Lead, direct, and guide our steps to do your will. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. All right, shake hands with one another and be friendly.